saw you going by, I had to say hello. And I don't mean to pry, but girl, I gotta know, what is your name? How come I ain't seen you around before? You know, I ain't never had a type, having a type takes two. But I know what I like, and you're the only one of you. You're something else. And I know we just met, but I wanna introduce you to my kinfolks, to my old friends, to the house in the pines where the road ends. Take you to my hometown, where I grew up, where I thought I knew it all before I knew what love was. Give up on it, but honey, you got my hopes up. And I'm thinking that I wanna introduce you to my kinfolks. I wanna take you home now, just take you home tonight. Get Joni on the phone, she'll leave us on the light. I wanna see the way you look up under all those stars. You're gonna be the talk, words gonna get around. They'll tell you how they thought I'd never settle down out on the porch. Ain't it funny the way things change? I wanna introduce you to my kinfolks, to my old friends, to the house in the pines where the road ends. Take you to my hometown, where I grew up, where I thought I knew it all before I knew what love was. Gave up on it, but honey, you got my hopes up. And I'm thinking that I want to introduce you to my kinfolks.
.02 here at 98Q Country. Here's some news and sports in a little bit. Coach Precor Phillips will join us. Coach's Show is what we do each Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, and that's what it is. So let's talk Shawamigan Butternut Mercer 8-Man Co-op. Head Coach Tony Morgan. Morning, Coach.
Morning. How are you, Joe?
Good, good. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. You knew that it was a tough task to go up and take on Hurley, which I believe is second-rated in the state.
Ranked second in the state, yep.
In 8-Man football. You gave them a good run, 28-20 at the half. It's a good battle. It's a good game.
Yeah, no, definitely cannot fault our kids for the effort and what they put forth. It was a good back and forth game, and it just kind of came down to mistakes and turnovers. We had two turnovers, and they didn't have any turnovers. They put the ball on the ground, but they were able to fall on it, and we put the ball on the ground once, and they got it, and then towards the end, getting a little desperate on throwing the ball, and they were finally able to pick one off, which was probably the first time that really they kind of stopped our passing game. But you know, those two turnovers, and you know, they had a kickoff return for a touchdown. So you know, when you go into a place and you're the underdog, you can't be the team that makes more mistakes. I think we had more penalty yards. So, but the effort was there. We certainly were moving the ball. You know, so not much that I can complain about as a coach after a loss.
Yeah, was it after seeing film of Hurley and stuff as a coach? Were you pleasantly surprised a little bit that you were right there with the number two team in the state? You're right there.
I mean, honestly, that was our thought. We really thought we could be there. I think Steve has mentioned they follow us. We've been following Hurley all year, so mm-hmm. I've gotten to see, you know, five of their games. And don't get me wrong, they certainly do some things very well, and they have one outstanding football player and a good scheme. But I certainly, after watching some of the games that they had, we thought that our style of play, especially on the offensive side, was going to be able to take advantage of some things. I'm going to, you know, tip the hat to them. They had really had some issues on snaps all season long. I believe they had made a change at the center position. And, I mean, we're talking, they were putting the ball on the ground 3-4 times a game. And the center on Friday night never put the ball on the ground one time. So that was something that we thought we'd probably get something out of that we didn't. So we really did think that, you know, for kind of the first time all year, we kind of had everybody healthy, cleared, you know, able to play. And so it was, you know, our full team, and certainly the way that we played Athens on the Friday before, when we kind of had almost everybody back, we were certainly feeling like, hey, with this group, there's not many teams that we can't go play with.
Yeah, and Hudson Hilger, I think coming into the season, you knew that he'd be able to run the ball. He's a very strong young man. You have to be really happy for him. The way that his passing game has come along, really, really nice.
Well, Hudson can, you know, Hudson's always been able to throw the ball a mile. You know, one of the things we've really worked on this year is getting him to kind of try to check it down a little bit, especially in those scramble situations. You know, one of the heart-to-hearts that we had at the end of last season really was, you know, throwing percentage. You know, even if a guy's wide open, you throw the ball 45 yards down the field. It's high school football. It's Friday night. There's lights in the sky. It's, you know, even that is a 50-50 venture at best. Then you add a defender, and those are not high percentage throws. And so he's really kind of worked on, you know, working with receivers. He still will throw the ball down the field, and we've got some really big plays that way. But, you know, his completion percentage is almost doubled this year, and you know he still knows I'd like him to at times tuck it a little bit because he is such a talented runner.
Right.
So we always say, you know, the best thing about Hudson, if you're a receiver, is he's always looking downfield, and then you know and he's gonna get you the ball if he can. You know, the worst thing about Hudson is he's always looking down the field, and sometimes he doesn't
get that
run
gun,
and go, you know, third
gun,
and two and
gunslinger mentality.
Take it. And but no, I mean, he's obviously put up you know, a number of touchdowns for us. His rating has been, you know, the last few games well over 100. I think really only had one game where he had kind of a subpar rating, and that was when he had a knee injury that was, you know, iffy if he should have been, you know, out there, because he wasn't certainly even able to run at that point. So
yeah, 201 yards passing, 95 yards rushing. Devin Soltis for Hurley, what were the challenges? He had 280 yards rushing, so obviously it's a very fine young man.
Big play. I think the one thing that stood out was, you know, we knew he definitely was a great football player. You know, he also had a kickoff return. We knew he was kind of their workhorse. But we were surprised at times, I think, in some speed. I know backside pursuit just didn't take maybe the right angle that we needed to take. And so what could have been, you know, still a big play, 35 yards turns into 66-yard touchdown, 80-yard touchdown, because he just had a little bit of breakaway speed, you know, once he got through the line that I don't think we had seen at all this year.
Yeah, 5'11", 170, so far. That's a decent size for a 5'11 guy, so a little bit of quickness and tough to bring down too, I would guess, right?
Yeah, good hard runner, you know, a good athlete. You know, he caused the fumble on the defensive side. You know, he definitely gave us some fits there, as he's been giving almost everyone that he's played fits. So
yeah, Hurley remained undefeated with a 44-26 win over Shawamigan Butternut Mercer on Friday night. Like we mentioned, Hurley, one of the top teams in the state in division in eight-man football. They fell just under that threshold I would anticipate to be a playoff team, I would guess.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, since they're in that top 10. The Hurley North Stars will play Phillips, and that'll have big conference implications coming up. So we have a couple of games left on the schedule. We got homecoming week this week, the coach's favorite friend. I know it's fun. It's still fun, but still to get the kids to focus is a struggle sometimes.
We started talking about homecoming before the week of Hurley, because there can be a lot of distractions. So we certainly want our players to be able to enjoy homecoming. It, you know, usually draws a really big crowd, and that's one of the funnest parts of high school football, is to, you know, get the community out there and the school and the pride, and, you know, the whole concept of homecoming. I love you know, the idea that we're inviting you know, our alumni and community to you know, celebrate, you know, our school and our team and what should be all of our athletics. So you know, but there can be a lot of distractions on things that happen, and so as long as from 3:45 to 6:45 we're focused on football, I can live with the rest.
South Shore will be the opponent coming up on Friday night, and of course I think the goal here with six games up and a 3-3 record is that above 500 to get those final couple games, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, and setting yourself up for a fun final game with Phillips a week from Saturday. South Shore comes in with not a whole lot of success, but again, we saw this with other teams too. Sometimes you don't know what's going on behind the scenes and what players may have been out and came back, so you just got to go in with that mentality that this is always just going to be a tough one, right?
I mean, high school football can be really hard to figure out, you know, thinking back at some of the teams that we've played, right? You know, Flambeau gave us fits and then, you know, an injury or two, and Rib Lake really took it to them last week. You know, we were able to really execute very well against Athens, and, you know, they gave Hurley all that they could handle, and you know, Steve and the Loggers, you know, that was probably a lot tighter than a lot of people would have thought as well. So it's high school sports. You're dealing with teenage boys. You know, injuries can come into play, distractions, and so you have to be ready to go every week because you just never know.
Well, I always talk about here on the morning show about how football likes to glorify the skill position players, and it's always fun to watch them, but we know where the game is won. It's won on the line. And that offensive line, for Hudson to have that success this year and be able to pass, you must be pretty happy with what they've been able to do this year.
Yeah, early in the year we were not, you know, we were executing some shorter kind of passing combinations that worked, and then we kind of struggled with our pass protection, so it was an area of focus in practice the last few weeks, and you know, we did take a couple sacks last Friday night, but for the most part, you know, there are times that Hudson has, you know, almost too much time to throw, and mm-hmm. probably an old school coach like me is like, well, then just run it. There's not much space, just run the thing. You know, more often than not, though, Hudson still finds someone, and but yeah, you know, Jaden Moto and Greg Morgan and Evan Carlson are our offensive line, and not only on their primary block, you know, setting a pocket, and then if Hudson rolls, but what they're really doing well in pass protection is, you know, guy gets off, if Hudson is dancing around, they're coming, you know, back and setting that secondary block, even a tertiary block, yeah, to make sure that we have that much time. That kind of describes it too. When you got a guy who's blocking, you know, somebody three times,
right.
That's how much time that we're getting,
yeah,
back there.
I think the offensive line, the players fascinate me, and I watched some of the documentaries about what it takes to be an offensive lineman, and the good ones, and how smart they are, and the ability to analyze where the blitz is coming from and where the quarterback moves to. Defense, there's a talent there, but it's kind of a see ball, tackle ball a lot of times kind of thing on defense a little bit. But that offensive line, there's a lot going on. The good ones really have to have an idea of what that defense is trying to do.
What they're trying to do, and then to be able to, you know, when it comes to the offensive line, we basically have created a secondary language for them to be able to communicate to one another, because,
sure,
you know, it's not just one guy. It's not, hey, this one lineman is very good. It really is a in unison thing, because if one person doesn't go the right way, you know, all of a sudden it can be blown up. And,
yeah,
you know, in pass blocking, especially if you spread them out, it can be a little bit easier to kind of communicate in that. But, you know, when it comes to run blocking and, you know, you're pulling guys, it really can be almost an artful display of, you know, how do you communicate and then execute that block. And, you know, hey, I got this person, but if they move one way, then, you know, how do we switch on the fly? And
right.
So it does take, you know, we've been very blessed that our offensive line has been healthy all year. And so, you know, they just continue to get better and better because they keep getting reps with one another. And that can be the biggest challenge is, you know, you lose someone on that offensive line and then you put someone there who hasn't been. I think for the most part, I would say at least 95% of our snaps has been, you know, Greg, Evan, and Jaden up there. You know, Sean has gotten in a couple times for really brief periods, but for the most part, I mean, it's probably closer to 98 to 99% of the snaps have been those three guys.
Yeah, so many times the only time we hear about an offensive line is when the coverage, you know, when somebody doesn't get that blitzer from the outside and they got a free run at the quarterback, then we talk about the offensive
or the
line.
Holding calls. Yeah,
we don't talk about it when the quarterback drops back and has 5 seconds to throw and nails a long pass down the field. We talk about the receiver. We talk about the quarterback. We don't ever talk about the offensive line that gave him all the time to throw. It's just not a glamorous thing to talk about, I guess, right?
No, but it is. It's one of the most important things because if your quarterback has no time, if your running back doesn't have a hole, you can have, you know, and so as we talk talk about with Hurley. You know, their running back is very talented, but clearly they're also blocking well to be able to get him through to then, you know, use his speed and all of that. So yeah. Blocking is definitely the unsung hero part of any and all football teams out there.
Yep. Friday night, South Shore comes in, homecoming, 7 o'clock start. I'm assuming we got the band at halftime, and it's always a fun atmosphere, right?
Yep, and we're going to be doing our parents' night as well, so we figure with as many eyes as we can celebrate our parents and our players. And should be a fun week getting ready for that, and looking forward to coming back home cooking this year. You know, we're 3-0 so far at home, and we want to keep that train rolling.
Yeah. All right, Coach, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Coach Tony Morgan, Chewangan Butternut Mercer 8-man co-op team back in action homecoming Friday night right here in Park Falls.
Leaning into local radio, 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Helene debris pickup along Florida's Gulf Coast being stepped up as another hurricane moves in. Governor Ron DeSantis says it's important to get as much debris off streets as possible before Milton makes landfall on the coast of Florida. He's also talked about interstate traffic that's jam-packed ahead of the storm.
When you hear evacuate, don't think you've got to get on the interstate and outrun the storm. You can find safe places on higher ground, hunker down, and then be able to go back to your home when the storm passes.
Milton is weakening slightly, but remains a ferocious storm that could land a once-in-a-century direct hit on the highly populated areas of Tampa and St. Petersburg. The Nobel Prize in Physics has been awarded to two scientists for their groundbreaking work in machine learning and artificial intelligence. Jeffrey Hinton, known as the godfather of AI, will split the prize with Princeton's John Hopfield. The Israeli military says it's killed a senior Hezbollah commander in Beirut. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin school superintendent has a challenger in the next election. Jeff Wright is the superintendent of the Sauk Prairie School District. Wright is the first person to step up to challenge Jill Underley. She's been in office since 2021. Wright is a Democrat who ran for state assembly in 2018 but lost by about 300 votes. The election is April 1st. Battleground Wisconsin is seeing a lot of campaign stops this year, but the nation's agriculture secretary says winning rural Wisconsin will take more effort than that.
It isn't enough for you to stop by in those rural areas. You got to have an office. You got to have volunteers. You got to have people talking about the campaign on a constant basis.
Tom Vilsack joined Civic Media's Todd Aubaugh show this week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Berme, and here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. The U.S. Coast Guard was mobilized at Myers Beach and Bayfield over the weekend to rescue two kayakers who had capsized. According to a social media post by the Coast Guard, there were eight kayakers out on the water when two of them capsized and were forced to grab onto another person's kayak to stay above the water. The group was unable to get back to shore on their own and decided to call authorities for assistance. Both of the capsized kayakers were rescued, and everybody was taken back to shore uninjured. A tree that's traveled further than nearly any human in history has been planted in Dunn County. The Dunn County Historical Society was chosen by NASA to participate in their Moon Tree program, which saw the seedling for the tree travel around the moon and back before being given to the Historical Society. Officials from the Dunn County Historical Society say they were chosen because they'll be able to keep the tree alive and use it as an educational tool. The seedling they received was on NASA's Artemis 1 space launch. I'm Austin Berme, and this has been Civic Media News.
All right, Coach's show is what we do Tuesday mornings, 9 o'clock hour. Coach LaFleur's presser from yesterday is on the way for you a little bit later on this hour. A Title Town Report. Time to talk Phillips Logger football head coach Steve Precor. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Joel. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, you knew going down to Athens that this team was better than their record, Coach, and it proved to be right. They gave you all you could handle. You came away with the win, 38-24, but they gave you a run on Friday night, Coach.
They sure did. They punched us in the mouth early. It was one of those, we talked about it, the proverbial trap game. When you go in and you look at a record and you think you're playing somebody on paper, and it's their homecoming and they're excited and healthy. They had a look that we hadn't seen and kind of took it to us a little bit. We couldn't get off the field at times on defense, and they'd extend drives, and it kept our offense off the field, and you can't score when you're not on the field.
Yeah. They came out a lot of times in homecoming games. You see teams come out not do well because they're distracted and stuff from the whole week's activities. But Athens was able to. But you had a couple of key plays there in the second quarter, including a touchdown pass, 21-yarder, that kind of brought you back in. What was the turning point that you felt in that game after they kind of punched you in the mouth early? What were a couple of big things that you thought turned it around for you?
Our biggest turning point in the game, I mean, we had a pretty good heart-to-heart at the end of the first quarter. There's a little bickering going on, and we talked about how the football teams don't bicker with each other in a huddle. And we started to turn it around in the second quarter, and the biggest play was we had that scoring drive with that touchdown pass, or a short two-yard drive right after a nice touchdown or a pass. And then we got to stop with about – I mean, we scored with 2 minutes. We got to stop with about a minute left in the game, and we marched right down and scored. And I mean, that was really the all right. We're going to flex a little bit and play the football we should play. And after that, we started to play with a little more aggression, a little more passion, and got out to a little bit bigger lead.
Yeah, they were up 16-8 at one point, and you ran off points, and we're up 38-16 in that fourth quarter. Your running game, of course, continues to be so strong. Anytime you can get two running backs over 100 yards in any game, it's quite a feat, and you managed to get almost three. You got two over 100 yards, Coach.
Almost three. We gave Shea a little bit of a hard time for tripping over his teammate, which would have been a nice long run.
Oh.
but we do a great job spreading the ball around, keeping legs fresh, and our offensive line does a really nice job of creating gaps and lanes for us to run. And we have just enough misdirection that you have to be disciplined in your game, or we're going to find somewhere that you're weak at. And fortunately, every which way we ran, we did that.
Yeah. And that run game, the success of the run game obviously sets up your ability, even though you don't pass a lot. When you do, it's effective. Talk about the couple of the long plays you had to Mr. Vernig there. It looked like the young Lowry kid had a couple of nice passes downfield.
Yeah, when you run the ball as effective as BJ did this week, it forces players to get out of their job, and they start to try to step up and make a tackle when really they need to stay in their pass coverage. And when they don't, you could take advantage of some of those things. And it's a look we hadn't shown a lot on film. So I think BJ's 3 for 3 with like 100 and some yards passing this year.
1,000 passer rating, yeah.
Which is fantastic. And almost for both of his throws were for touchdowns. I think we got tackled on the 2 or 3 yard line.
Yeah.
Which was good. He was frustrated. He had two touchdowns that were called back that were long runs. So for him to do something like that got his head back in the game, and it's fun. It's fun when the things that you talk about and you work on and you want to fake, and then it works. It just gives the kids that confidence to continue.
It's got to be fun for Ben Vernig. He's such a good athlete in track and other sports. And even though he doesn't get the ball a lot, he knows it's coming, right? I mean, he knows that those linebackers are going to creep up and he's going to get his chance, right?
Yes, exactly. Our tight ends know that their job is to block 90% of the time, 95%. But when they get the opportunity to catch a ball, they're going to make a big play.
Yeah,
it's going to be an explosive pass play. They're going to get you 2-point conversion or something along that line. Yes, so they do a great job. They own their job. They're great team players, and then make that explosive play. And those explosive plays are crucial, and they really hurt a defense's game plan.
Yeah, two catches for 64 yards for Ben in that game. You had 365 yards rushing. Since we're on a theme of praising the offensive line with Coach Morgan a little bit ago, talk about your offensive line, because when you run the ball as much as you do and defenses start to key, they put more and more, you know, they try to put more men at the line to try to stop you. Those offensive linemen, it gets harder and harder when defenses know you're going to run, but your line has held up well this year, Coach.
We do, and we pull a lot. So we have one of our linemen, he's 150 pounds, and I might be giving him some pounds. he pulls, and he's out in front of every run that we have. Kudos to him. That's Kyle Seidenbender. It's incredible what he does. He loves contact. So you'll see some big hits from him no matter where he's at. Our backs do a good job following him. Snapping out of a shotgun in a consistent, like Coach Morgan said, that Hurley had some struggles with snap. When you snap out of a shotgun, you need a center who can move his feet, snap the ball, get it where you need it to go. McCoy Delasky's doing a very good job for us. And he's just a sophomore. He came into the year, and that was our position. We weren't sure who was going to play, and he pretty much said, hey, I got this, Coach. Did a great job. And Callan Chuzzles does a really nice job at our strong guard position. He also pulls a little bit, which he's created a whole new world for me to run some different plays with the way he can move in space. And then our tight ends, Colin Kleinschmidt, Lane Abraham, and Ben Vernick do a fantastic job blocking, knowing that they really would love to catch passes all day long.
Is that one of the favorite things for an offensive lineman to do, Coach, is to pull and kind of run with that running back down the field 5, 10, 15 yards? Is that one of their favorite things?
Absolutely. With the opportunity to decleat somebody or pancake somebody down the field, they do. And Kyle will call a sweet play in the huddle, and you'll hear him say yes. Like, he's ready to go. He wants to get out and hit somebody, and it's fun to watch.
That's fun for you as a coach. Well, here it is, the conference championship on the line for the most part here this weekend. You got Hurley coming to town, the number two team in eight-man football. You guys would be right there, but obviously the enrollment there, they don't put teams that aren't going to be playoff eligible in the ranking just because of enrollment. That's it. But this is it for the title, right?
This is it. Yeah, we got. You know, it's kind of interesting. They're at 203 this year. We're at 206 or 7, but our average just doesn't let us go. But we have Hurley, and they're very, very similar to us in many aspects. And I think as Coach Erickson gets back to, you know, some of that classic double tight T formation stuff that he's ran forever, and you started to see some more of that run game against Schwamgen this week where they gave the ball to that Soltis kid, and he just ran and ran and ran and ran. You're going to see a lot of two similar teams. They do have a quarterback that could throw the ball a country mile, so they'll spread it out. But it's two similar style football teams, and I think it should be a very, very good football game. It's who makes the big plays, who makes the mistakes. And fortunately for us, we're playing it at home. Unfortunately for us, I'm not a huge homecoming fan. and I don't know any coaches. I love homecoming, and I love how excited the town, the community, the kids, they are. And it's great to show that community support and pride. But at the end of the day, for me, there's a football game on Friday.
Yeah.
That consumes my time.
If there was one dress-up day for homecoming that you would take part in, Coach Precor, what would you pick? What would be the dress-up day you'd be like, all right, I could do that. I'd be pretty cool.
I would love to dress like Coach Wirth. That would be a great day.
I like that. We could just go down to St. Vincent de Paul's. Couldn't we pick something out?
Some old gear and a Dye Mountain Dew. And
jab at Coach Wirth. And I don't want to demean your final game, of course, with Rib Lake, but obviously you would have I don't know what the tiebreaker thing is for conference, but you would have an advantage. You do still have a conference game and a tough one against a very good Rib Lake team, so I don't want to count that game out, but this
it's
game...
Schwamgen. It's a good game.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Schwamgen.
You have Schwamgen. Yeah. Hurley. Yeah. Hurley has Rib Lake.
Hurley has
that
Rib
final
Lake.
Game, and you have Schwamgen. So there's still some...
Schwamgen.
Yeah.
That's a huge game for us. I mean, we play for the Eagle. It's the biggest rivalry. There's still people from... Which it's funny to me in some regards that won't buy fuel in Park Falls and vice versa. So it runs really, really deep, and I don't know that our kids today realize it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a game that you want to win, it's that cross-county rivalry.
Still some, the Phillips You've got Hurley this week, and then Hurley has Rib Lake next week, and then you have Shawamigan. So yeah, this is going to be a fun kind of final couple of weeks to determine that conference championship. But obviously, Friday nights will have a huge saying of what happens there.
Yeah, and I love that this is the way that it's all falling out.
Yeah,
it's fun. Football. It means something, and for us, it's our playoff football game.
Yep. The only thing that would be better is if you were in the playoffs, but that'll come. That'll come, right, Coach?
I sure hope so.
Yeah, that would be the cherry on top, that's for sure. Coach, great job with the kids. We look forward to tracking you and following you again Friday night in your homecoming game there against Hurley. Thank you so much for taking time to join us.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate it.
You bet. Coach Steve Precor, head coach of the Phillips Loggers. Dress as Coach Scott. Now I got to thinking what I would dress if I was Scott Worth. All right, we should have a dress-up day for that. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. We'll archive the interviews with our coaches for you to listen back to if you missed it. We'll have Coach Matt LaFleur's presser from yesterday as our coaches show. And the 9 o'clock hour continues here on 98Q.
The Badgers get ready for Rutgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers travel to New Jersey this weekend to take on the 4-1 Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell says quarterback Braden Locke did a good job of bouncing back in their win over Purdue after throwing two interceptions early in the game.
And sometimes you take it for, well, he's a slinger and he doesn't care. No, it's just he processes things. He's able to come back. He's able to have confidence in what he's doing.
NFL Packers head coach Matt LaFleur says he expects Romeo Doubs to be back at work tomorrow. Doubs suspended over the weekend after not reporting to practice last week.
It's a pretty isolated incident. This has not happened with him before, and I don't expect it to happen moving forward.
NBA, the Bucks host the Lakers Thursday night in a preseason game. Damian Lillard says he's in great shape thanks to his personal trainers.
Nutritionist and chef and speed and agility, strength and conditioning, my basketball trainer. We executed it.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
From historic title town to our town, Park Falls, Wisconsin, Jack's Corner Bar located on Cedar Street serves up a Super Bowl of delicious daily specials, including deep-fried chicken daily. Fridays, enjoy fish fry with salad bar. Saturdays, look forward to pork and dumplings. Saturday night, take it to the house with a tasty prime rib with a championship salad bar. Game day breakfast on Sundays at Jack's Corner Bar, located in our town, Park Falls, Wisconsin, where strangers become friends and good times roll.
This is the Title Town Report, presented by the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, executing its game plan to not only support soybean farmers, but all of Wisconsin. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
A day after the Packers' 24-19 win over the Rams, and much of the early conversation in Matt LaFleur's press conference on Monday involving suspended wide receiver Romeo Doubs.
I think it was productive, and we look forward to getting him back on Wednesday.
Did the coach have any idea Romeo wasn't happy?
With all due respect to everything, I appreciate your question. What's done is done, and we're moving forward, and I expect us collectively as a team to continue to move that way.
I'll have more with Matt LaFleur after this.
Thanks to Soy Checkoff Investments, the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board is huddling up and going deep with innovative products that help to protect Wisconsinites' blindside. Products like PFAS-free soy foam help to keep the brave men and women who fight fire safe while also protecting the communities they serve. Soy-based tires are like cleats for the road, keeping drivers on the road while removing harmful petroleum from the tires. The Checkoff's vision puts Wisconsin farmers in position to play the long game and grow markets and build demand for soybeans right here on our home turf. From every corner of the field, the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board knows how to execute a game plan to fuel Wisconsin's economy, communities, environment, and farms. To learn more about the innovative products coming from Soybean Farmers Investments, visit wisoybean.org. That's wisoybean.org.
The Packers like their depth. To make that depth pay dividends, Matt LaFleur has decided there's value in playing those players, sharing snaps in games. But is there a downside? Are some players not on board with the concept?
Everybody has their own goals and aspirations and wants, but you just got to try to continue to keep it under what's best for our team. And ultimately, our job is to win football games. Yeah, I would love everybody to go out there and get every number that they'd love to hit, but it's all about winning.
And finally, how does the coach get the trust back between the team and Romeo Doubs?
Yeah, I think it's just one day at a time. It's a pretty isolated incident. Like, this has not happened with him before, and I don't expect it to happen moving forward.
I'm Bill Scott. More from Title Town tomorrow on the Wisconsin Radio Network.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters. Northwoods
weather. Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the northwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight clear with a low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 31.
98Q Country. It was Labor Day weekend, I was 17. I bought a Coke and some gasoline, and I drove out to the county fair. When I saw her for the first time, she was standing there in the ticket line, and it all started right then and there. Oh, sailor sky made a perfect sunset, and that's a day I'll never forget. I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. She was killing me in that mini skirt, skipping rocks on the river by the railroad tracks. She had a suntan line and red lipstick. I worked so hard for that first kiss, and a heart don't forget something like that. Well, it was 5 years later on a southbound plane. I was headed down to New Orleans to meet some friends of mine for Mardi Gras. When I heard a voice from the past coming from a few rows back, and when I looked, I couldn't believe just what I saw. She said, I bet you don't remember me. And I said, only every other memory. I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. You were killing me in that mini skirt, skipping rocks on the river by the railroad tracks. You had a suntan line and red lipstick. I worked so hard for that first kiss, and a heart don't forget something like that. Like an old photograph, time can make a feeling fade, but the memory of the first love never fades away. I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. She was killing me in that mini skirt, skipping rocks on the river by the railroad tracks. She had a suntan line and red lipstick. I worked so hard for that first kiss, and a heart don't forget. No, a heart don't forget. I said, a heart don't forget something like that. Something like that.
All right, Tim McGraw, 98Q Country. Our 9 o'clock hour on Tuesdays, we feature coaches, and we've had Coach Precor and Coach Morgan on. We're going to hear yesterday's presser from Coach LaFleur and the Packers. We're going to do that in just a moment here on 98Q Country. And first of all, we're not going to do that. We're going to jump ahead to this, and then we'll get to our presser. Hold on.
Grab your partner and stop by Jack's Corner Bar and Park.
Northwoods Service Center is your one-stop shop for Northwoods fun. Whether it's time to play or time to pack away, don't settle for less. Get your whole watercraft winterized by a certified power sports technician. Bring Jared your boat and your outboard motor. He's the one you want working the whole checklist and protecting your investment with the highest quality shrink wrap. They'll even park it for you and keep it safe at the new Northwoods Service Center storage lot. Get your boat taken care of, winterized, wrapped, and stored at Northwoods Service Center next to Valley Laundry in Park Falls. 715-518-9118.
Hey, grab your partner and stop by Jack's Corner Bar in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Now open Mondays for Mexican night, Thursday burger and fries, Friday fish fry with salad bar, and Saturdays look forward to pork and dumplings for lunch, and Saturday night gets set for a tasty prime rib with salad bar, along with daily deep fried chicken special, great for your palate and easy on your wallet at Jack's Corner Bar, located on Cedar Street in Park Falls, Wisconsin, where strangers become friends and good times roll.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true, we take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Price Electric, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Give your home a beautiful makeover with help from Menards. Update any room with flooring from Tarkett. From easy-to-install sheet vinyl and waterproof vinyl plank to durable laminate flooring, Tarkett has a perfect flooring option for you. Nautical Escape laminate flooring is beautiful with its realistic hardwood design. It's waterproof, making it an ideal choice for active households. Visit Menards.com to shop our great selection of Tarkett flooring, plus other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the northwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight clear with a low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
We continue to feature the coaches. Let's listen in on yesterday's presser with head coach Matt LaFleur of your Green Bay Packers.
A little groggy, but we'll survive. A little ornery today.
Matt, did you have your meeting with Romeo that you were looking forward to?
We did. We talked.
How do you feel coming out of it?
I'm not going to get into the specifics of it, but I think it was productive, and we look forward to getting him back on Wednesday.
Did you have any inkling that he was unhappy before this?
Again, like with all due respect to everything, I appreciate your question. I'd rather, you know, what's done is done, and we're moving forward. And, you know, I expect us collectively as a team to continue to move that way.
I asked you a while back about how you've been getting all these guys involved, right? You're sharing different snaps at different positions on defense, and we talked about how valuable that is. In any way, is there a downside to that, that then people might not be as on board with that concept? Or?
No, I think one thing that you totally respect about everybody is everybody has their own goals and aspirations and wants, but you just got to try to continue to keep it under what's best for our team. And ultimately, our job is to win football games. And how we do that, I would love everybody to go out there and get every number that they'd love to hit. But especially for myself and trying to set up this team, it's all about winning. And how do you put each piece together to go out there and win games? And you know, we're fortunate that we have a lot of players that we have a lot of confidence in, and specifically on the offensive side of the ball in regards to trying to get everybody involved. I mean, it's a good problem to have, but it can potentially be a problem if you let it be. And, you know, I think for the most part, our guys have done a really good job of just putting the team first, and we're going to continue to stress that, and hopefully, you know, they buy into that, because I am a believer, and I think we've seen it around here. When your team has success, generally all those accolades and come with that. So we're going to keep it about the team and continuing to focus on winning and doing our best to put everybody in a position to set us up to win games.
I know you went through it with Jair, but how do you get the trust back between the team and him and you guys?
Yeah, I think it's just one day at a time, you know. The one thing I'll say about it is, it's a pretty isolated incident. Like, this has not happened with him before, and I don't expect it to happen moving forward.
Matt, how do you know, it looked like during the second half of last season, you know, Jordan came so far, and he made such good decisions all the time. Maybe not the last pass of the season, but what are you seeing when you see him maybe take some chances that you would like him not to take? Is there something different that's causing him to maybe take more risks, or what do you think?
No, I think all quarterbacks kind of go through this, and you know, we just got to continue to encourage to take what's there. He's always wanted to push the ball down the field, which I respect. And one thing that we always talk about is sometimes you got to earn the right to throw it down the field. You know, we've had a pretty explosive offense, and ultimately, usually going into every game, defenses are going to try to mitigate your ability to create those explosive plays, because we know explosive plays lead to points. I don't think we scored. I think every drive that we had an explosive play on, we scored. And vice versa, when we didn't score. So, but that's football. And, you know, the one to Jay Reed, I don't recommend that decision, but he threw a hell of a ball, and Jaden made a heck of a catch. So it's one of those things that you're like, no, 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 yes. But I just think over time, you got to be careful with those.
I just think Bullard handled the slot for yesterday.
I thought he did a nice job. Yeah, I thought he competed well. I thought he triggered when he needed to. I thought he did a really good job.
Matt, what have you seen from Edgerrin, you know, with some of the blitz concepts that Jeff's been sending him on, and being able to kind of impact the game in that capacity?
Yeah, it's certainly impactful. I mean, he just is got a way of, you know, wrapping when we're running some of those stunts in front of him, and he's wrapping around some of those stunts. He just wraps so tight and fast and gets there in a hurry. And usually those take a little bit longer than, you know, traditional blitzes if you're just sending somebody through a gap.
Matt, was that the sequence at the end of the first half, was that as confusing and chaotic to you guys as it was to us in terms of like where the ball was supposed to be, how much time on the clock, and then
yeah,
Jordan gets the pass and then Braden makes the kick? But
yeah, I believe it. I don't think it was officiated the right way. So I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody at the league, but my understandings of the rules were that I don't believe it should have been a 5-yard penalty from where the ball went out of bounds. So that's just what I've been told from our in-house people, and I believe so. I believe that was incorrect. So we'll find out. But you know, you got to adapt and adjust, and nobody's perfect, and we're all going to make mistakes. And but it was at least they gave us the opportunity and explain the situation to allow us to get the proper play call for what we needed to do, which is try to get a little bit closer for a field goal. You know, sometimes that stuff happens so quick and they don't explain it to you, and you're trying to call a play, and it can be really.
All right, the Matt LaFleur presser there, and obviously something's going on with the feed there, but you get the point. He's a little bit irritated and not going to talk about Dobbs, and the Packers just need to have more explosive plays. So there you go. Matt LaFleur, we invite you to join us each Tuesday morning as we bring you clips and talk with the coaches here on 98Q. The interviews we had with Coach Morgan and Coach Precor, we'll have those archived for you at 98QCountry.com a little bit later on today. The key word as we begin our backyard barbecue qualifying, the key word for today is lanes, L-A-N-E-S. So take a moment, text that word to us through the Civic Media app. It's free. Put the Civic Media app on your Android or iPhone, and then text that off to us. If for some reason you don't have an Android or iPhone and you would like to enter, we don't want to alienate all of those people who maybe don't have that technology. Call us at 715-762-3221, and we will give you an alternate way to enter, okay? But we encourage you to do it through the Civic Media app, L-A-N-E-S, Lanes. Get that to us sometime today to be in for our backyard barbecue giveaway.
98Q Country.
Quick stop, midnight tea, top jack in her cherry coat town. Mama and daddy put their roots right here, cause this is where the car broke down. Yellow dog school bus, kicking up red dust, picking us up by barbed wire fence. MTV on the RCA, no AC in the vents. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map dots, New York to L.A. We were teenage dreaming, front seat leaning, baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, uptown, down home, American kids. Growing up in little pink houses, making out on living room couches, blowing that smoke on a Saturday night. A little messed up, but we're all right. Church parking lot, trying not to get caught, take her home and give her your jacket, making it to second base by saying you went all the way Monday afternoon at practice. Sister's got a boyfriend daddy doesn't like, now he's sitting out back 30-30 in his lap in the blue bug zapper light. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop,
because it makes me feel so good.
Hey, I'm just looking for you.
I love
98Q Country.
They wake up in the morning and they drink their coffee black. Job gets done.
say barbecue and have a cold one. They run on a big old heart and a pinch of skull. That's how country boys roll. Yeah, they're spinning their wheels, casting their reels way back on the Mole County roads. Singing in bars, souping up cars, just to see how fast they'll go. From it falling in love to them falling in love, they do everything heart and soul. That's how country boys roll. Well, if you don't know your way around, they'll draw you a map. And if you're broke and you ask, they'll give you the shirt off their back. All they need is a little gas, a few dollars to fold. That's how country boys roll. Yeah, they're spinning their wheels, casting their reels way back on the Mole County roads. Singing in bars, souping up cars, just to see how fast they'll go. From that ball in a glove to that falling in love, they do everything heart and soul. That's how country boys roll. Oh, come on. Yeah, they're crying loud, humble and proud. They love Mama and Jesus and Jones. That's how country boys roll. Don't you know? Yeah, that's how country boys roll.
I like that. Billy Currington at 98Q Reality Radio tomorrow. What a beautiful day, 65. Hopefully that wind will simmer down a little bit out there. I hope it's a good one for you. Laura McKenna is coming in next. Keyword lanes for today to qualify for our backyard barbecue contest, L-A-N-E-S. Gray will be in 2 to 7. You take care of yourself. We'll see you back in here tomorrow morning. 98Q Country. That's us. This is Bailey Zimmerman.
We've been swinging and missing. It ain't broke yet, but damn, it needs fixing. Been a while since you kissed, felt like kissing. It's just different. We've been talking about forever since we've been together. Something battering makes you think we're better off with all this, but we're caught in between a rock and a hard place. Red wine and mistakes, tears rolling down your face. When I walked out that door, that's when I lost it. Midnight in Austin, damn, I'm exhausted. What the hell's this all for? Is this where it mends or it breaks? Between a rock and a hard place. Take some effort, so I'd rather ride it out for better weather. Together, between a rock and a hard place, red wine and mistakes, tears rolling down your face. When I walked out that door, that's when I lost it. Midnight in Austin. What the hell's this all for? Is this where it mends or it breaks? Between a rock and a hard place.
heart blaze. Tears rolling down in your face as I walked out that door.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful.